This is the Best of Sports Channel 8, the radio show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the best of today's Sports Channel 8, the radio show.
Sports Channel 8, the radio show, all up in your earwaves on a Friday morning. We are the radio show that always kicks off your weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Woo! Thank you, Daniel Craig. We're also the radio show that kicks off summer vacation, even though it's 40 degrees outside right now. Yeah, it's a little chilly. Who even knows what a school year looks like anymore? Like, are the kids going to be going to school all summer? I don't know, but we're declaring it summer vacation because we are taking our summer vacation after today. Yeah, we're only around really for college football and college basketball. That's what we care about. That's what we're here for. Yeah, we'll be watching all the golf majors. We'll be watching the other things, and you'll be able to find us. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Channel 8. It's always the best way to keep tabs on us. We're on the other social medias as well. And yeah, next week you'll be hearing Mike Greenberg here from 10 to noon. But it's our summer vacation, so we'll be fine. And you'll be able to find us. And we hope to be back here in the fall on 99.9 The Fan. But for right now, we got two more hours to talk about the important things happening in the sports world. We thought it was going to be an all Final Four show, which wasn't going to be that much fun because we don't really have any teams we love in the Final Four. It's not a bad Final Four. Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor, Houston. It would have been nicer if Michigan had gotten in there. We had 3-1 seeds. But no UNC, no Duke, no ACC teams. No Kentucky or Kansas or any of those, but we do have a Final Four. But then, yesterday, during this show, on April Fool's Day, which that seemed to be an overarching theme of Roy Williams' retirement day, was yes. Everybody had to do a double take, right? Like, there was he even used it when he started his own press conference. I think the chancellor started, April Fool's, no. That joke got kind of worn out. But when it hit our screen, and we hadn't heard it anywhere else, we definitely were like, wait a minute. This isn't an elaborate April Fool's joke, right? Because, well, like, for example, we found out Michael Strahan fixing the gap in his teeth. That was an April Fool's joke. And I'll even say we kind of got by that because he did it before April Fool's. That was pretty smart that he revealed on April Fool's. But let's get to the things that you can talk about at lunch. And the number one thing, you talked about it at lunch yesterday for sure, and you will continue to talk about it at lunch today if you are a sports fan in the Triangle area. Roy Williams retiring after 18 seasons at UNC. He's the only coach to win 400 games at two different schools. He's one of six coaches to win three national titles or more, as we talked to with David Glenn yesterday. That puts him in pretty elite company, especially in the modern era, you know. He won three titles in basically 14 years. Since he's come to Carolina, you can make the case that he has been as successful as any coach in the country. The fastest coach to get to 900 wins, which means that, you know, obviously he will not retire with the all-time wins record. I think Coach K is probably going to hold on to that one, at least at the NCAA men's Division I level. There are obviously different levels in women's sports as well. But the fastest to get to 900 means he was as successful in his first 900 games as anyone who ever did it. So Roy Williams, first and foremost, should be remembered as a great coach. But yesterday at the press conference, Roy Williams gave us the full gamut of who Roy Williams is. I almost wish, and I don't mean this in any negative light, I almost wish I had like a psychologist that could break down all the different parts of Roy Williams' speech. A lot of people came away with the same take I did, very hard on himself in some ways. But I think a lot of what we saw yesterday was a very genuine, very authentic, very true Roy Williams. It started with, he gave you stubborn Roy, and he tried to start with some jokes and even admitted, I'm reading this to avoid breaking down and crying, although he's basically kind of on the verge of tears with a few pauses the whole time, which is totally understandable. But he started with stubborn Roy, with a take about opting out. Here's Roy Williams right at the beginning of his press conference.
But these are different times, unusual ways to say things. In today's times, I should say that I'm not retiring or resigning. I'm opting out. That's the most ridiculous phrase I've ever heard in my life. Why the hell don't you just say I quit? So I'm old school and I can't use those words, but I will tell you that I'm retiring and resigning as a men's basketball coach at North Carolina.
All right, here's the thing about opting out. Like many other terms that become ubiquitous and overused.
Sure.
If you go back to the original origin of opting out, it was players deciding not to play, like when sports were first starting back up and the pandemic was still raging, and like players who lived with someone who was immunocompromised, like somebody who said, well, I live with an older parent, or my wife has had cancer, or, you know, my husband has asthma, and so I don't want to participate in my sport for fear of bringing it back to them. And I think, you know, like Roy Williams, when presented with that, would not call that person a quitter. Like that, the first term of opting out was weighing the risks and dangers of playing during a pandemic and deciding that might not be the safest choice for me, a decision that we were all very happy to let individuals make. So I just found it interesting that Roy Williams, who clearly, you know, again, now the term, as we've joked about on this show, like opting out is now the term for everything. You know, anytime you stop doing something, you have opted out of it. I opted out of doing the dishes last night. People have opted out of their seasons. People have opted out.
I always opt out of doing the dishes. It's a problem.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it.
I opt out of working out.
But Roy Williams shows us, you know, stubborn old Roy there that has to get his take in about opting out. Why don't you just call it quitting? Because he's thinking solely in the terms of when he was asked about, would you opt out of the ACC tournament? And to Roy, obviously, that would be the wrong thing to do. And so now he hates the term opting out, even though, again, if you go back to its origin, it was kind of a good thing. All right. Then we got to the very complex parts of Roy Williams. And I think Roy Williams is mostly a simple guy. And I hesitate to refer to people as simple because people think that means that I'm calling them dumb or, you know, not smart or not high-minded. And I don't mean that at all. I think some of the most brilliant people on earth are sometimes fairly simple people. And I think that he's also a guy from the North Carolina mountains. And if you're from around here, there is, you know, you hate to generalize or stereotype people, but there is something about the upbringing of folks in the North Carolina mountains. It's a different part of the state. I'm trying to think of other people from there. Paul Johnson is from there. Mm-hmm. And when we talk to people from the mountains, they talk about, I'll never forget a caller. We were talking about Paul Johnson and what a surly guy he is and can be. And we see some of that in Roy Williams, some of the, you know, I'm going to do it my way. This is how I do it. You know, I don't like the term opting out, you know, when he gets mad, that's the mountain Roy coming out. And I'll never forget a caller who called in one time when I was doing radio to talk about Paul Johnson. And he said, yeah, Paul Johnson is a guy who doesn't act like he's very impressed with people. That's the other thing about mountain people. They don't think big of themselves. They're, you know, fairly humble, whatever, but they're not impressed by the other big, showy, flashy people. And Roy Williams strikes me as one of those guys. And the guy said, Paul Johnson isn't impressed with other people. And when Paul Johnson comes back to, I forget where he's from, Newland, maybe, somewhere up in the mountains, people in Newland aren't impressed with Paul Johnson either. That's just how it goes. And that always kind of fit with Roy Williams too. All right, but here's Roy Williams describing the reason he's retiring, not about anything. He was asked specifically about the name, image, and likeness, the transfer stuff. And it seemed like maybe those played in. He used those as like confirming factors when he thought maybe the game was getting past him. But here's Roy Williams very explicitly evaluating his own performance over the past couple of years and saying that he might not be the right guy for the UNC job.
Every time somebody asked me how long I was going to go, I would always say, as long as my health allows me to do it. But deep down inside, I knew that the only thing that would speed that up, if I did not feel that I was any longer the right man for the job. I'm not going to say the best man, because I never thought I was the best at anything. But 15 years at Kansas, I thought I was the right man. And this time at North Carolina, I thought I was the right man. I no longer feel that I am the right man for the job.
And Roy went on to say some specifics. He talked specifically about calls he made at end of games and whether they wondered whether they were the right move. Now, sometimes he said it in terms of, I made a decision that I knew what the best coaching move would have been, But because I was playing with young guys, I went with sort of a safer plan and it ended up backfiring. We gave up a shot to lose the game, right? So in a way, it wasn't specifically about him always making the wrong call. It's about him wondering if he's, you know, coached his players well enough, wondering if his players have enough game reps and experience. I mean, that's a real world thing where he's not outwardly saying I'm getting out because of one and done, but he's second guessing himself as a coach, partly because he has a sometimes inexperienced team out there. But there was a lot of, and he went hard on himself over the past 2 years. He said after last season, and I think he was asked specifically if he thought about retiring, and he kind of dodged the question, but he did say at least, you know, he mentioned six specific moments, end of game situations, where he wondered if he should have done something differently. And that ate at him all last offseason. And it even caused him, he went very personal. And this kind of struck home with me. Roy talked about forgetting people's names and maybe even worrying that he was mentally slipping. And he didn't say this, but you know that on his mind, you know, he watched his mentor, Dean Smith, who, you know, tragically fell victim to dementia. And I forget the specific syndromes that Dean Smith came down with, but clearly was partly the general, you know, digression of the mind, right? And you could tell that worried Roy. He specifically talked about, is he losing his mind? He said the people close to him assured him, hey, forgetting people's names is just a getting old thing. Like he said, one guy told him he had six grandkids and he just says, hey, you come here. He can't remember all his names. He said, you don't need to think that you're not still very sharp just because you don't remember everyone's name now the way you used to. But Roy, you could tell that was part of his own self-evaluation. Am I still sharp enough to get this done? And he was very personal about it. And I'll say personally, I remember, I'm not someone, a lot of people are sort of in awe of their dads. They think their dads are, especially growing up. I mean, we all do this to some degree to our parents, right? But I'd like to think I've got a pretty fair view of my dad, right? I don't think he's smarter than he is, or greater than he is. However, he's a pretty smart dude. He's made a lot of smart business decisions. And that, you know, you don't have to make a lot of money if you're very smart with your money. I am not making a lot of money, nor am I smart with my money. So we'll see where that I end up with that. But I remember when he specifically a couple years ago talked about, I think it may have even been in the context of the NCAA commercials with Spike Lee, Charles Barkley, Samuel Jackson and crew. Like, he loves those things. Those ads are targeted at folks like my dad, and he absolutely loves it. He watches the tournament probably for the Capital One commercials. But I remember a few years ago him saying specifically, you know, he always knew what bank to have or what insurance policy to have or whatever based on who's got the best rates, like what the smartest thing to do. And he said, you know, I used to always know I had the right credit card based on, you know, just that I was smart enough to do the math and figure out what the best deal was. And I just don't feel as confident anymore. Like, I've got this credit card, I think it's pretty good, but I'm not able to, you know, evaluate these things the same way I was. And I heard Roy Williams talking about himself in those same terms. And again, it was very real. He talked about whether or not he just still is the right person to be coaching. Now, Roy, even if he's correct, even if he is slipping a little bit on his coaching skills, even if he's not at top of his game, I think there's a lot of people, if asked, who would say, yeah, I'll take 90% Roy Williams over most of the coaching field anyway. There's a lot that leads me to believe he could coach and still win games. Another theme of yesterday's press conference was Dean Smith famously telling Roy after he had retired, hey, I actually had a couple more years in me. Dean Smith retired at 66, I believe. And so Roy Williams was caught between wanting to make sure he didn't retire too early after, again, hearing what his mentor did. But I think he worried about hanging on too long. He talked openly about worrying that he was slipping, partly in his coaching skills, but specifically he talked in mental capacity. Again, he didn't ultimately conclude that he's, or at least his friends nudged him like, hey, you're still sharp, you're fine, but you're not necessarily... But he thought he wasn't necessarily the same coach as he was. All right. Also from Roy's press conference yesterday, he may not be the right guy to coach UNC, but he's still a darn good golfer. And he reminded of us. He reminded us of that yesterday, 1 week before the Masters, where he talked about playing Augusta National.
The last 2 days, I was a lucky guy. I went to Augusta National, played par three Tuesday, and then played 18 Tuesday afternoon, played 18 yesterday morning, and it was beautiful, and I loved it, and shot 88, 87. I did par 13, 14, 15, 17, and 18 to finish, so I probably won't ever go back. But between every shot, I wasn't really thinking about hitting the golf ball. I was thinking about how I was going to tell my players in getting through this press conference. So I knew then that, you know, if you can't even think about golf when you're at Augusta National, the decision that I felt about not being the right person any longer, that was pretty much confirmed everything.
There were a lot of players, both current and former, at the press conference. He name-checked a lot of them. But yeah, he 13, 14, 15, 17, and 18. Did
part
he say
them
par
all.
Coming down,
part
down
them
the
all.
Stretch? Which also leads me to believe if he shot an 87 and he parred five holes on the back nine, he must have been giving up. Like, did you go in the water twice on 16?
Something
doesn't quite. I mean, if you par those five holes, I mean, he should be a little bit closer to 80, Roy. But good on him. Strong flex that he can play Augusta and the par three and get two rounds in. And he could probably do that a lot more now that he wants to. All right, a couple other thoughts on Roy Williams, and everybody's been giving their take. One thing that always struck me about Roy Williams, and again, I tie it back to being a North Carolina mountain guy. There's one thing he talked about. He never calls himself the greatest. I think of the line from Oklahoma where they say, I don't say I'm no better than anybody else, but I'll be darned if I ain't half as good. And that's Roy Williams. Like, he's not going to say he's better than anybody, but also he knows old Roy knows something about the game, and he's not going to take second to anybody, but he's not going to say that he should be in front of anybody else. Then there's another line from one of my favorite musicals, The Music Man. And this is describing people in Iowa, but I think they have something in common with people from the North Carolina mountains. And the line is, we could stand touching noses. So by God, stubborn, we could stand touching noses for a week at a time and never see eye to eye. But we'll give you our back. We'll give you our shirt and the back to go with it if your crop should happen to die. Roy Williams seemed like a very stubborn guy, but deep down to his core, a very caring person who's been there for a lot of people. A lot of those stories coming out that have been great. And then one other thing that just strikes me about Roy Williams, he specifically mentioned, if he's asked about it, he doesn't necessarily believe in some of the changes that are coming to college basketball. But I think part of what he was saying in his retirement was that maybe he's not the best person to make the decisions about what's good for college basketball anymore. College basketball has changed. It's not the same college basketball landscape that Roy Williams decided to chase his dreams of being a college basketball head coach and follow his mentor back in the 70s and early 80s, and then on to being a head coach in the 80s and 90s. It's different. So I applaud him for, even if I disagree with some of his stances and some of the things that he would probably disagree that are going to come to college basketball, I applaud him for standing on what may be, and this may be a metaphor for also his coaching style too. I applaud him for sticking with things, for having the principle to say, no, we've won doing this way, going back to Dean in the 60s, and we're going to keep doing this way. But I also applaud him for saying, you know what, that's the only way I want to do it. And it's possible that, that game and time is moving forward and that's not the best way to do things. Roy Williams doesn't have an agent. I remember this conversation came up. I think I even asked him specifically. There was one of the times where agents were a lot, you know, in the news, and whether or not players should have agents. And almost all coaches have an agent. And Roy Williams is the type of guy, and again, I admire this in some ways. He would almost rather, let's say he could get a $5 million contract for the school by himself. And if he had an agent, the agent would get $6 million, but take 10% of it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that agent's going to take $600,000. Well, Roy's going to make more money with an agent, right? He'd be making 5.4, but he'd rather make $5 million and not have to give 10% to an agent, just because that feels like that's my money. I earned it. I got to pay somebody. That feels like the type of guy he is. So why would he want to deal with players' agents, which he very well may have to do in the future of college basketball? But as he steps aside, I still believe players maybe should be represented by agents so they can be making good decisions, or at least, adults, whether or not they're, when you hear the word agent, you probably get an idea. I think players should be allowed to get smart legal advice while they're college basketball players about their professional careers. But I can understand why Roy Williams would be like, I don't want to be in a college basketball world where I've got to deal with players' agents. I've never had an agent myself. So an interesting press conference yesterday. Obviously, Roy Williams will continue to be the topic of conversation. The other topic of conversation around Roy Williams is who's next. If you believe Vegas, Hubert Davis is the odds-on favorite. I don't believe it will be Hubert Davis. If they stay within the family, Wes Miller and Jerry Stackhouse, Hubert. If they're going to stay in the family, it's almost certainly seems like it'd be Hubert Davis, Wes Miller, and Jerry Stackhouse.
Bubba Cunningham also said yesterday he wants somebody with head coaching experience too.
Yeah, which would seem to rule out Hubert Davis, mm-hmm. although they continue to refer to him being the JV coach for several years. Whether or not that counts as head coaching experience, you can debate. The list of people, I think it could be somebody that we're kind of surprised by. Now, that could include, you know, I'm intrigued by Jay Wright or Tony Bennett. I don't think that they'll leave their schools, but I'm intrigued by it. I don't think it'll be Scott Drew or Mark Few or Mark Turgeon or Mike White. I'm intrigued by Nate Oates at Alabama.
Yeah.
So I got no guess. And it's very easy to sit here and list names and make up cool reasons why it should be a person. We said this, Josh Goodson said it yesterday. I hope it's somebody local and not somebody who, you know, national, who hears from a college coach's agent of who it will be. One name that is not on the list of the Vegas odds, but that Stephen A. Smith agrees with me on, is our man at North Carolina Central, Lavelle Moten. Here's Stephen A.
You need somebody that can recruit, that's got a track record, that's homegrown. University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, is only about 25 miles away from Raleigh-Durham. I believe that Lavelle Moten, the head coach for North Carolina Central, should be strongly considered to be the next head coach in Chapel Hill. And that's saying a lot, because I'm from Winston-Salem State. At HBCU, they the enemy, they the competitor. I believe he can coach, I believe he can get it done, and if I'm the University of North Carolina, before I hire anybody, I interview that man for the head coaching job at the University of North Carolina, which is right up the road.
All right, Stephen Smith messed up a couple things. First of all, he used a Raleigh-Durham reference. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's an airport.
Although maybe he was talking about from the airport, although Chapel Hill's a little bit closer than...
Yeah, it's like 17
it's about 25
miles.
Minutes from the... Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, it's not quite 25 minutes to the airport. He also referred to it as the University of North Carolina Central. I know that ticked off some Eagles fans, but...
Yeah.
Because we broke the news yesterday mm-hmm. of Roy Williams retiring, I want credit. I was the first to throw Lavelle Moten's name in there.
That's true, you did.
Not Stephen A. Smith. I don't think Lavelle Moten will get hired. There's also a question. I don't even know if Lavelle Moten, I assume he's interested in bigger coaching jobs, but he is making a huge impact and doing great work while at North Carolina Central, and it very well may be that he wants to continue that. But a UNC job would keep him in the area. I said it yesterday. I thought he should be a candidate for the state job. I think he should be a candidate for the UNC job. And when Duke job opens up sometime in the future, I think he should be a candidate for that. There are a lot of reasons. I won't bore you with them all right now, but I can get into it. It won't happen. I'll be shocked if Lavelle Moten is hired at UNC. But I would not be shocked if they were very successful once he was hired, okay? The dude is going to succeed at what he wants to do and what he decides to do. It's just I wish that – think about hiring Mike Krzyzewski after a losing season, with a losing record after two seasons or maybe three seasons at Army and hiring for Duke. How crazy is that? Does it sound any crazier to be hiring Lavelle Moten, a man with tons of connections throughout the game, a man who's been a USA basketball coach? That doesn't sound that crazy to me. It won't happen. I can dream, though. The final thing that you can talk about at lunch, we got a Final Four this weekend. That's right. It is Gonzaga versus UCLA, Baylor versus Houston. That's on the men's side. That's Saturday night. But the women's Final Four actually starts tonight. South Carolina versus Stanford, 6 o'clock. Arizona, UConn, 9 o'clock. We talked about this before. You look around, three number one seeds made it to the Final Four. NC State did not. That is the next step for them. There are some other headlines of things that you can talk about at lunch. We may sprinkle them in throughout the show here. But since we are going into summer vacation, we're going to have everybody stop by the show today. Weather Moose, supportive guy will be in. Josh Goodson, Brian Geisinger, Ben Swain, everybody will be by. We'll talk summer predictions, and we'll talk some more about Roy Williams and whatever else is going on. It is baseball season two. Maybe we'll even talk some baseball at some point. That's right. We got baseball audio for you. The Hornets lost. The Canes won. It's a Sports Channel 8. Sports Channel 8, the radio show. The Carolina Hurricanes are on 99.9 The Fan. Join us tomorrow and Sunday as the Canes return home to take on the Dallas Stars. They're home for like 8 games in a row now. Tune in 30 minutes before the game. Keep it locked into the Fan after the game as Alec Campbell brings you the Stormwatch. Excuse me, brings you Stormwatch and The Aftermath, presented by John Heister, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Lillington. Stormwatch, just Stormwatch, and then The Aftermath. The sounds of Sarah McLachlan can mean any number of things. Either we are trying to get you to adopt a pet, or Moose is sad about the onset of summer vacation. Moose, what's going on, man?
This is a tribute to Roy Williams, baby.
Ah, that is. Okay, my bad. Yeah.
Come on.
I didn't have you pegged as the guy that was going to be doing tearful tributes to Roy Williams today. No. I must have read that one wrong.
No, all about Roy today, baby. All about it.
Who is the who's the State fans' choice to be the next head basketball coach?
Oh, Perm. That is I'm really hoping for a Matt Doherty redux, if I'm honest with you. I feel like he's learned his lessons from the previous go around. He's ready for another shot. Ready to give it a go. Do it for the family.
Yeah. He's got a book out called Rebound. You know, it would absolutely shock me if Matt Doherty got any consideration. It would not shock me if Matt Doherty considered himself a possibility. He's like, you know what? Maybe I could convince him that things have changed. I learned some things. Mm. Let's do it different this time. I still knew some basketball. I still recruited some guys. No, we're not doing Matt Doherty part two. Sorry.
Still might have better odds than Brad Stevens to take this one, I think. But, you know.
No, he's coming. He's coming. Brad Stevens is coming. It is April 2nd, and it is 40 degrees outside, which means we need to get a new weatherman in the offseason. But for now, we're stuck with this one. So let's go down to Johnson County and get the tailgate weather report.
It's time to point that jewel east and talk to the weather moose with the Johnston County Weather Report.
All right. One more time. Hey, this week's weather report, the last one before summer break, is brought to you by Pine Level Elementary's Cow Patty Bingo Fundraiser. Y'all know what that is? Perm, you know what that is?
Yeah, I'm a little too aware of it.
Are you? I'm kind of scared to know why you're too aware. But, hey, squares are only $10 each. You can get 5 for $40. It's one of the biggest fundraisers of the year, and it's yet another reason to get folks in the county around the field to sit around and talk about bullcrap, boys. That's what we're looking for, okay? So get on down to Pine Level. Yeah.
Before you continue, I have not been to Cow Patty Bingo, but you know who has? The Chicago Blackhawks radio announcer, I believe – has seen Cow Patty Bingo because he referenced it last night during Warren Fogle's second goal. Do we have this audio, Dennis Cox? Let's play it.
The score! Warren Fogle picked the puck off the end boards on a hot dump from the back end of the boards, and Carolina in front.
There it is. Am I right? That's Cow Patty Bingo, right? Just a hot dog, right?
It's pretty close. The good thing about Cow Patty Bingo on cold days is it's easy to spot it because you just see the steam rising up from the square, which the positive is.
Well, today would certainly qualify as a cold day. So we
could. Yes, it would.
All right. What you got?
Yeah, first stop today is going to be up in Indianapolis as the Hornets travel to take on the Pacers tonight at 7. It was a cold start this morning, temperatures in the upper 20s. They'll climb to a high near 50. Mostly sunny skies, winds out of the northeast shifting to out of the west this evening. Chances of rain, almost zero, so you won't see a lot of drops out there, unlike all the teardrops you saw from Triangle Media yesterday at Roy's retirement presser firm. Daggone waterworks all over the place out there.
I mean, it got emotional, man. The guy was crying and talking about how he didn't think he was good enough anymore. Okay, I'm sorry if I got a little teary.
Yeah, it's a little tough though to understand your question when you're sobbing through it. So
uh-huh.
We'll have to have people
transcribe those suckers.
Next up, we're going to come back to Raleigh as the Hurricanes welcome the Stars to PNC Arena tomorrow night. Another cold start tomorrow morning. Wind chill in the mid-20s. Clear skies, winds out of the north. Yeah, it's not good right now. Clear skies with winds out of the north are expected. We should get to a high near 60 tomorrow afternoon. 1% chance of rain out there tomorrow, and one perm is also the number of games that Roy lost to NC State in his final season of basketball ever, and I'm sure he's happy about that. He lost one to NC State. I'm sure he hates it.
Went 500 against the Pack. Overall, hey, I think he's pretty good on his record.
I
think he's pretty good. And, yeah, it's going to be 20s in the morning. I'm trying to grow food out here at my new house. I'm trying to be like you, Moose, and actually grow the stuff I eat. But somebody said I need to go put a sheet out over my plants. Yeah. And I'm like, look, I love my plants, but I'm not sleeping with them because it's cold.
Listen to the age-old adage, Perm, is you don't plant anything after or before tax day. Okay, nothing before tax day. And here you are.
I heard it was before. All right, does that mean we can't plant until mid-May now because they pushed tax day back?
You might. In the age of COVID, you never know.
It's throwing people off in Joko. All right, what else?
All right, our last check before we get out of here for a while is going to be down at Frida's Free Range Daycare out in Grabtown, where they ain't used electric fences since 1987, Perm. It's a good old time for your youngins down there. Clear and cold Sunday morning, temperatures around 37 degrees, winds out of the west at 5 to 10 miles an hour with no real chance of rainfall. Should see temperatures climb to near 70 before the day winds down. 70 is also the percent reduction of basketball players in the UNC FM department with Roy stepping down, Perm. I hate to see
it. Stop it.
It's going away. It's a bad time to be over in that department at Chapel Hill. But that's the Johnston County Weather Report. I'm the Weather Moose. And for the last time, I love you guys.
Is for the last time until after summer vacation. Is there any part of your cold red Wolfpack heart that can feel happy for Roy, feel sad for UNC fans with Roy leaving? Like is there any like human element of it, or are you just all Wolfpack fan and you only see this? Like, were you crying tears of joy? Were you cackling a villainous laugh? Like, how did it go down?
No, I will say this. I do feel bad for UNC fans in the sense that they don't know at all what it's really like to go through a coaching search, Perm. They've only had, what, two in the last forever years? It's been a long time. They've had, what, four coaches in 60 years? I don't know what the number is. It ain't a lot. So I hate it for them. Having lived through that several times over my last few decades or so as a Wolfpack fan, it's not fun. So I feel bad for you in that way. I'll say this, seriously, Roy seems like a great dude, and so I'm happy that he's going to be able to spend some time with the family now moving along there. So congrats to him on that.
Wow, that was big of you, Moose.
I try to be Moose, a big person.
Final thing, we are taking a summer vacation after today's show. Do you have any predictions for the summer break, either things that'll happen in the sports world, soccer, Dirtbags, baseball, life in general? Any predictions for us?
No, I do have one. It is Sports Channel 8 related. The theme song, Permar, will displace Despacito as the song of the summer this year because people need their Sports Channel 8 and Super Chunk fix, and we're not going to be around, so they're going to head to Apple's music store and download that sucker in droves, Permar. The numbers are going to be ridiculous, and I do have your summer forecast. Got your summer forecast, folks. Yeah.
Give it to me.
It's going to be low to upper 90s, 120% humidity, and thunderstorms in the afternoon. About a 30 to 60% chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon every day. So just be prepared for that from June on till probably late September.
Yeah, it'll be hotter than 80s out there. Through folks. The end of September, that is your weather today.
Sports Channel 8 would like to remind you that NFL, June is Heat Lightning Awareness Month.
Keep it tuned to Sports Channel 8 on Twitter at Sports Channel 8. We will we've sort of become the biggest media outlet that supports Heat Lightning Awareness Month. The Heat Lightning Awareness Month of America sort of teams up with us every year to get the PSAs out, and we will continue to do that. Weather News, we appreciate you heading up our Heat Lightning Awareness Month committee, and we'll see that in June, my man.
All right. Well, y'all be good today and have a great summer, everybody. We love you.
And turn the thermostat up a little bit outside, Moose. If you could just get it to 50 today, that'd be great.
I'm working on it.
He is the weather, Moose.
I'm going outside to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Permar. Y'all give me some time off. I'm disappearing for a bit. So I'm turning it up this weekend. It'll be a little bit warmer.
Enjoy it and wear a mask. He is the Weather Moose. You can follow him on Twitter at WXMoose. We're not responsible for his language. Speaking of only gambling where it's legal and only telling you about it if we win, we continue to do that. We'll only tell you when we win. But gambling has become legal in Virginia, and I think we just saw the reports for the amount of money they made in the first month. And I don't even remember the exact total. I just know that it was enough that people in North Carolina, legislatures in North Carolina, business-minded people in North Carolina are going to say, wait a minute. They made how much money? And I wonder how much of that was people driving from North Carolina to now making the short trip into Virginia to gamble. We've talked about this when the NCAA tournament started, because that coincided with sports gambling being opened up in the casinos that are in North Carolina, but they are on reservation land. So not they're sort of outside of it in a different jurisdiction. And we've heard about bills that have been introduced and are making their way through the legislature. But I'm telling you, nothing moves faster than finding out that your neighbor is getting a grab of money that you could be getting. And they might even be getting it from you. Like people used to drive across state lines to buy Powerball tickets. Mm-hmm. I'm sure gas stations that were just inside the North Carolina were like, yo, this stinks. Everybody's driving right past us to go to South Carolina, Virginia to get scratch-off tickets. So now we have scratch-off tickets. Same thing's going to happen with gambling.
I'm going to be spending a lot of my summer vacation at home at my parents' house.
Yeah. Were you gambling there?
No, I will be. I will. I guess I can now.
With Cox the First?
Yes, with Cox Senior. Yeah. Yes, Cox the First.
Hey, reminding you that 99.9 The Fan is with you wherever you are. Listen to us on your smart speaker by telling it to play 99.9 The Fan. Download the WRAL Sports Fan app or stream us 24/7 online at WRALSportsFan.com. And don't forget, if you miss any of our show, you can always listen to the Best of Sports Channel 8 podcast available after every show. You can get our podcast or any of the great podcasts we have on the WRAL Sports Fan app or wherever you get your podcasts from. He is the bright corner that is the dark place on earth, known as the internet. It is time to be uplifted by Supportive Guy. This is the Supportive Minute.
This episode of the Supportive Minute is brought to you by Roy Williams's Unused Timeouts. Old Roy saved all of those timeouts for a reason, and they're available now in mint condition and are hermetically sealed in their original packaging. Need a timeout? Roy's got plenty. Roy Williams's Unused Timeouts. Welcome back to the Supportive Minute. I am Supportive Guy, and you're listening to the Supportive Minute. I'm joined today by announcing tandem Abbott and Costello. Fellas, you're known for not being able to get on the same page when calling a baseball game once. Clearly a frustrating experience for both of you. Hey, Abbott, have you two made amends?
I only wish I had always protected our friendship. But everyone knows that Lou and I had a rift in 1945. Like a lot of people do, we magnified a difference of opinion. And we let a molehill become a mountain. Lou, I thank God we came to our senses. Friendship seems all the more precious to me because we almost lost forever through foolish pride.
Thanks, Abbott. A thoughtful and sincere response. Costello, anything to add?
You got the whole story.
Okay. Seems like Abbott did most of the legwork on this friendship, but it's a friendship nonetheless. That's all the time we have for today on the Supportive Minute. I'd like to thank Abbott and Costello. Also, we here at the Supportive Minute would like to wish Roy Williams a sincere and happy retirement. Coach, if you're listening, you are one of the greats. Until next time, remember, you have value.
He is Supportive Guy. You can follow him on Twitter at Supportive Dude. Why? Because Supportive Guy was already taken, and Supportive Guy didn't want to go ask Supportive Guy for it. So he took Supportive Dude. Follow him on Twitter. He is a character. Everything is positive. His favorite part of the game is the handshake line, of course. All right, we've got some work to do. The Final Four, as we mentioned, the women's is tonight. The men's Final Four starts tomorrow. But the finals of the bracket of stuff goes down right now. That's right. In the finals, it is Pillsbury. Sorry, I stood. Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough. Right?
Uh-oh. Those kids that have to be Lucky Charms.
All right, Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough advanced to the finals. They advanced from the bracket, the triangle bracket that included speeding tickets, hammocks, and bed. The cold water that's by your bedside table when you wake up at 2 a.m. They've won in the Final Four over plastic golf tees, which had advanced from the JoCo region that included Pac Pros, the plastic at the end of shoelaces,
yes,
and the strawberry candies at your grandma's house that she never runs out of, but you never actually see her buy. So that is how Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough advanced to the finals. On the other side, it is day drinking. Now, I know we're playing this game outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're playing this game inside, but it is terrible weather for day drinking, and I don't know if that's going to factor into the game because it's way too cold right now. Day drinking advanced from the beaches region. They were the one seed there. They advanced past Oreos, and they
advanced
over, over Oreos. They also defeated Clever Wi-Fi, and Bojangles Kid Supreme Meals went down in an upset in the beaches region. So day drinking never had to face Bojangles Kid Supreme Meals, which would have been the matchup that they were fearing. So day drinking, they in the Final Four, they defeated Weighted Blankets. Weighted Blankets had advanced from the Triad region that include Josh Pastner's Dirty Face Shield, Legalization, however you want to take that, and John Tesh playing Round Ball Rock, which also got him in the first round.
Hello, this is Josh Pastner.
We need Pastner. Did you see Pastner get name-checked by Roy Williams yesterday?
Yeah.
And Kevin Keats didn't?
Oh, the disrespect, Hayes.
How are you going to name-check Josh? He said, yeah, we got a trio of good young coaches. Josh Pastner, Chris Mack, and Tony Bennett. He put Josh Pastner in with Tony Bennett. Who felt more disrespected by Roy Williams' Josh Pastner reference? Was it Tony Bennett for getting put in the same group as Josh Pastner? Or Kevin Keats, who didn't get mentioned at all? Unbelievable. No. He tried to name like everyone in his life, and he did a darn good job. I'm not going to nitpick Roy Williams' retirement. So, our finals. It is Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough.
Uh-oh. Those kids that have to be Lucky Charms.
Versus Day Drinking. This is for all the marbles, the NIT bracket of stuff. Day drinking was a one seed, and Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough was a four seed. So as you know, day drinking will be heads when we flip. Please don't let Pillsbury. If Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough wins, it'll be like UCLA winning the whole thing.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll be worse. It'll be like, what's Sister Jean's school? Loyola.
Oh, Loyola,
like
Loyola Chicago. Winning. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Day drink, but I'm not going to cheat. I will not rig this. I will tell you the fair. We don't have. We used to have cameras on us. We don't have cameras anymore. You ready?
Yep.
Big flip. All right. It's flipped over in my palm. I'm opening up my palm. I'm not doing this like the Iowa caucus, dude. It is in an upset.
Boo!
Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough.
Those kids that have to be Lucky Charms. Come on.
I mean, just an unbelievable run of tails flips.
Jeez.
For Lucky Charms Cookie Dough to advance.
Boo!
What a terrible. This is like as bad as the men's tournament now. The NIT bracket of stuff. Stupid. Ridiculous. We're never doing this again.
Wait, why do we even do it?
I can't believe that Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough is going to win. We make this whole bracket.
Brother, this guy stinks.
We have so many cool things in there. Josh Pastner's face shield. Come on.
Yeah.
They can't even get to a Final Four.
Hammocks.
And Pillsbury Lucky Charms Cookie Dough wins it all. On the other side, we'll talk to Ben Swain. The Carolina Hurricanes are back on a win streak. Why are we having so much trouble with Chicago? Are they that good? Is it going to be hard because you're playing a team that's always competing for a playoff spot, so you're never going to be able to let up? I don't know. And we might even ask Ben Swain about hockey terms like hot dump that we found out about last night. That is next on Sports Channel 8.
Deflected, a stall, then Niederreiter, a shot that just been rebounded. They score! Warren Fogle picked the puck off the end boards on a hot dump from the back end of the boards, and Carolina in front.
the Carolina Hurricanes won last night. Warren Fogle picked up a hot dump and made something out of it. Vincent Trocheck is back scoring again. But also, we got some news dropped on us that we have to hit everybody about. I thought of Ben Swain yesterday because I remember a conversation we had. I don't even remember how early it was into the pandemic, Swain. But it was about, we're going to see coaches go two different ways. There's going to be some coaches during this pandemic and the stay-at-home time that realize, man, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be, right? Retirement's going to be okay. I could live without my sport. And there's going to be some coaches that are like, oh my gosh, I can never retire. And they commit to another like 5 to 10 years. So I found it interesting. We don't know how much the pandemic was a factor, but it couldn't not be a factor because it's been a factor in everyone's lives the last year. But I thought of you yesterday as Roy Williams retiring. If this would have happened, if we hadn't had a pandemic year, just with more time to think about things and to see where your life fits with your career decisions. Ben Swain joins us now on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Swain, your reaction to Roy Williams retiring yesterday?
I'm still kind of processing it. It's funny. It's been like every 20 minutes or so, just a reminder that it really happened and it wasn't just something that gave us content to discuss, that it's actually next year Roy Williams won't be the coach at UNC. And I think that's still difficult to wrap my head around.
I'm always the dude who's like, much like I'm not as blown away by the signing of the bigger crude as I am like seeing him play. I think I'll be more, and it's kind of to your point, I think it'll impact me more when a hire is made and there is a different coach at the University of North Carolina. Does that make sense? Because like right now, Roy Williams not being the coach of UNC doesn't look any different to me because they're not playing and I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't see Roy Williams on recruiting trips, even though I know he makes them. So to me, I feel like some of those feelings will kick in with like, oh man, blank is now the coach at UNC. That seems crazy, but it'll be interesting to see who it is and what it looks like moving forward.
And look, we always say that you can't discuss one program without discussing the other. I'm kind of fascinated, and not to put everything on Walker Kessler, right? Like we're not piling on the guy here, but his place in ACC and Tobacco Road history is pretty solidified because you just mentioned the recruiting aspect of it. He was a strong favorite to go to Duke for a long time. Famously went on his visit to Chapel Hill and completely switched directions and committed on the spot when he was in Chapel Hill. And then the whole transferring and the 2-hour conversation with the Kessler family after the season, and then Roy, alluding to the fact that just wasn't something that he wanted to continue to deal with moving into the future. it's pretty crazy that the guy was a Duke lock, ended up at UNC, ended up transferring from UNC after a year, and leading to kind of being the straw that broke the camel's back in Roy Williams' career. It's kind of it'll be interesting to look back on that.
Should he complete the circle and just transfer over to Duke?
I should go to State. That would be the ultimate next step, is that he goes to State.
That would be fun. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of scenarios that are wide open that would be a lot of fun that aren't going to happen. That's probably one of them. What was more exciting to you last night for the Carolina Hurricanes, seeing Vincent Trocheck come back from injury and be right back into scoring mode, or to see Warren Fogle have a 2-goal game? Because he's probably a guy that, if you're thinking about the Hurricanes making a long run, they might need a little more contribution from.
I mean, they're both pretty freaking important. But I mean, I would also throw in Jesper Foss just playing an overall great game in pretty much every aspect. And obviously he had the game winner at the end. But yeah, for the Hurricanes to compete as one of the top four teams in the NHL, which is really kind of where they've been from the season's start, but they're going to play those other top teams in the playoffs. For them to be successful, it's going to be an all hands on deck kind of thing. And so they need to be healthy. They need to have the depth guys playing well, like Fogle and Fost, and obviously having Trocheck back in there was a huge deal. So yeah, everything was kind of clicking last night for the Hurricanes. I'm still a little concerned about the whole James Reimer situation currently, but you know, seeing the depth guys do their thing was definitely a positive for the Hurricanes.
Mrazek got back on the ice for the AHL team, correct? And I think faced a barrage of shots. So in theory, you know, if he's not back up to game shape, at least his injury is enough to the point where they got him out there, you know, playing hockey. Do you think it could end up being Nedeljkovic and Mrazek as the two goalies down the stretch?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Mr. Hurricane John Forslund, which Pierre Maguire kind of tried to set him up on the broadcast a couple of times last night, which is really awkward. One, asking him specifically about the goalie situation in relation to the expansion draft that's coming up. And as we remember that Forslund is going to Seattle at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So it was that. And then he asked him another question about Jacob Slavin. And it kind of set up like, John, you would know this better than anybody else. a couple of awkward moments on the broadcast last night between Pierre and Forslund on that front.
It was nice to hear the familiar voice, even if we did not get the familiar sound of the Marley Drug commercial. Also, the Carolina Hurricanes. Sometimes, you know, there's the knowyourmeme.com. Is that the name of the website? If that's not the name of the website, if you Google that, like, it'll come up. Because sometimes you'll see – you know, you'll see a picture out there and you're like, okay, this is a meme, but I'm not sure what it means. So I'm going to go look up what this means. We almost need a guide to when the Carolina Hurricanes are trolling someone. Cause you like, you, sometimes it can happen so fast or so subtly, you don't even know what this is about.
Yeah.
But the Carolina Hurricanes tweet earned 2 style points last night. They earned 2 points with the win, but it was clear they meant something by this, but I didn't know what they meant. Can you please break it down for me? Can you could be the segment. Explain the Hurricanes' most recent troll job.
After the first game in the Chicago series, Rod Brind'Amour called the game ugly, which it was. It was a lot of clutching and grabbing and maybe a little bit of a concern for the Hurricanes because it was kind of a blueprint for how to play against the Hurricanes. So we're in for a lot of frustrating games from here on out, I would think. But yeah, Brind'Amour called the game ugly. That got back in the form of a question to the Chicago coach, who I guess took offense to that and said that, you know, maybe the Hurricanes are in a position where they're fighting for style points, but you know, we're playing for actual points. And then the Hurricanes won last night. So the tweet that the Canes account immediately sent out was earned 2 style points. Which was incredible. I love those guys.
They know how to troll better than anybody else. Although there's nobody that you can get a deal with for style points. Like you can't. Nobody owns the term style points, so you can't, like, you know, like they did with Quiznos, turn it around and quickly make something out of it. Ben Swain joins us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. All right, I gave him a pass yesterday because it was game day. But Goodson and I were talking about this yesterday, right when the news dropped that Roy Williams is retired, was we started saying, like, who's going to be putting out statements? Who can get away with just putting out a tweet statement and who needs to put out, like, official statements, right? And we saw, you know, obviously Duke, Coach K put out one, you know, Michigan State, all over the place. Does Rod Brind'Amour need to put out a Roy Williams retirement statement? If he's put one out, I missed it. But I feel like if he's going to be a legendary coach in North Carolina – he needs to start recognizing when legendary college basketball coaches retire.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting one in the post. I was expecting a question in the post-game press conference about it, and it never came. And so I think, you know, Brind'Amour is kind of a guy of few words. He's not going to say something unless he's asked to say something. And
gotcha.
Maybe that's what he was waiting on. But no, I am surprised that nothing came out yesterday or at least today. He is a huge college basketball guy. He lives in an NC State household, so maybe that's why he didn't do that.
right.
But when your PR guy, our friend Mike Sunheim, is a huge Carolina guy, I feel like that falls on the shoulder of the front office there to be like, hey, coach, you got to put something out about Roy.
You have to.
And
you have
it didn't
to.
Happen.
I mean, he's got, like I said, yesterday was a game day, so it's okay. And we're still in the morning today. But, like, somebody get word to Rod Brind'Amour and or the Hurricanes organization. Like, look, I love that we have become a pro sports state. I love the Panthers, Hornets, and I especially love the Hurricanes. But you got to pay respect to what this state's sports fans were raised on. And the college basketball coaches still kind of get a special place there, the Hall of Fame one. So somebody get word to Rod Brindamore to put out a statement. I love statements are like the dumbest thing. Because people do – can you imagine being in politics and this is like an actual thing? Like anytime somebody dies, anytime there's a natural disaster, anytime there's something, it's like time – oh, my God. No statement already? We're obviously kidding, but it also wouldn't surprise me at all if Rod Brindamore did make a Roy Williams statement. Ben Swain, we've got summer vacation coming up. Obviously, you can still find us at Sports Channel 8. You can follow him on Twitter at TheBenSwain. We'll keep you updated with all the things we'll be doing. Last year, we did some live trivia shows during the summer. Podcast is still up there. You can find it at WRSportsFan.com. We may do some more podcasting. We'll see. But do you have some predictions for what's going to happen over our summer vacation, Swain?
Yeah, I think I'm not going to break the news on the show. I'm going to let North Carolina basketball have their moment. But I am going to tell you two hints. So not a prediction. These are two hints about the next basketball coach at UNC without telling you who the coach is.
Okay, all right, this is big.
The first hint is that the local media will definitely call the hire a home run hire. It will definitely be the right guy for the job, according to local media. And then the second part of the hint is this person that is going to be hired at North Carolina will win the introductory press conference.
He'll say the right things.
They may even throw in a cliche or two about their wife being a sign of how they can recruit or something along those lines. But yeah, they will definitely win the press conference and the local media will love the hire. I also have some bad news for you, Perm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the coach isn't going to be as cool as you want them to be.
If it's Lavelle Moten, he will be.
Yeah, it's not going to be Lavelle Moten.
Actually, Brad Stevens doesn't even seem like that cool. He's just like a great basketball mind.
Yeah, he's kind of a dork, right? Like, that's kind of his thing.
A little bit, yeah.
So yeah, I think Lavelle's probably the only coach that would make you happy.
Yeah. But there's some other ones out there. I'll let you know. Kevin Keats. If you go get Keats, I like him.
God, that would be incredible.
Just to see state fans' minds explode. Yeah. If you go get Kevin Keats. I hope they call
Keats versus Walker Kessler next year.
You got to call Jeff Capel at Pitt. He's a hot young coach. I think the Heels got to call him.
Hey, the one guy. Let's talk about Bubba Cunningham yesterday throwing out head coach experience, someone within the family, right, and someone who like respects the UNC name. So somebody who has coached in the ACC, was a UNC athletics parent. So he's within the family and obviously, you know, thought about a UNC enough to send his kid there. Kevin Stallings, not getting enough run as a potential candidate for the UNC job.
I did. Kevin Stallings made the list of Roy Williams coaches that he named yesterday. Shout out.
So there you go. I think Roy was dropping hits at candidates yesterday.
I posed this question yesterday about yesterday. Who should be more offended? Tony Bennett, that Roy Williams placed him in the same category as Josh Pastner, or Kevin Keats, that didn't get mentioned at all when Roy Williams mentioned the coaches.
Yeah, he didn't mention a single NC State guy. I think that was incredible on Roy's part, and I appreciated it. Real quick before we go, speaking of coaches and cool coaches, Nate James is headed to Austin Peay. Which is likely going to open up a spot on the bench for Nolan Smith over at Duke. So two great guys getting their chance at doing something in the coaching ranks. So we're excited to see that for both of those two guys.
If that doesn't open up a seat for him, DJ Stewart's seat is open, so Nolan can just sit there. So
I bet Nolan can still play. I bet Nolan can absolutely still play.
100%. Ben Swain, follow him on Twitter at TheBenSwain, the funniest man in the ACC. I'll obviously see you over summer vacation, but have a good one, my friend.
Later.
Brian Geisinger, ACCSports.com and the ACC Sports Journal, joins us. We'll get his thoughts on Roy Williams' retirement. But also, we got to talk about the embarrassment that was the Charlotte Hornets performance last night against the Brooklyn Nets. It was ugly early. I will say the Hornets outscored the Nets 37-36 in the second quarter. But the first quarter didn't go very well. They did they score 11 in the first quarter? Is that right? It was something bad. Things were bad. What happened, Brian Geisinger?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of ran into a buzzsaw last night. There's no shame in losing to the Brooklyn Nets. They're one of the three or four best teams in the world. But, you know, they didn't quite have their fastball last night with no James Harden and no Kevin Durant. And so, yeah, the loss doesn't look good. Like, that's a game that Charlotte should be able to beat that team, you know, with just Kyrie Irving as, like, the lone star. But, hey, man, Brooklyn has more depth than you think they do. Like, Joe Harris has been maybe the best catch-and-shoot guy in the league, just above Terry Rozier this season. LaMarcus Aldridge made his debut and was, like, okay for Brooklyn last night. But look, like, this is just going to happen some nights in the NBA. Like, an opponent is going to take 40 or 50 three-pointers, and they're going to make almost half of them, and, like, you're probably not going to win the game. And Brooklyn was 20 of 45 on threes in this game. It's just like Charlotte played poorly. Brooklyn shot the hell out of the ball. And it's like, yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. Just move on to the next one. It's just unfortunate that it came on national television with Marv Albert forgetting everyone's names and Chris Webber saying a bunch of incredibly dumb stuff during it.
You mentioned they didn't have Durant or James Harden. But LaMarcus Aldridge played. Blake Griffin didn't play either.
Right.
The joke was that they're amassing all these names that aren't going to be worth a whole lot. But LaMarcus Aldridge looked like he still definitely had something that he's going to be able to contribute to a team. And you had mentioned to me, this is the first time I'd seen the Nets with him. You said Blake Griffin and actually been performing kind of well. Are these guys, yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, going to actually be a serious part of the Nets title run?
It just depends, man. Like, I do think, like, the concerns with Aldridge and Griffin, I don't think were offensive, right? Like, Aldridge is tall. He's almost 7 feet tall, and he can shoot, and he can post a switch mismatch. Like, those are useful traits to have around Kyrie and Durant and Harden and Joe Harris and Bruce Brown. Those guys give them versatility, like, added versatility with different lineups that Brooklyn can play depending on the matchup. Like, you know, Harris, Durant, Harden, Kyrie, those four are going to be on the court in crunch time. Who's going to be the fifth guy? You know, some nights it could be DeAndre Jordan, some nights Nick Claxton, some nights Aldridge, some nights Griffin. My thing with those guys was always the defense. And I thought Aldridge was okay defensively last night, but also, like, you know, there was one possession when Charlotte was down by a million where they ran spread pick and roll, and I mean, Devontae just walked right into a three-pointer with LaMarcus Aldridge dropping on the screen. And I think that's probably, like, plays like that are probably a little bit of a concern. Ultimately, though, it's like, do those guys help you with Embiid guarding Joel Embiid? Like, assuming Brooklyn is to run into Philadelphia at some point in the playoffs. You know, I don't think Blake Griffin does. Maybe LaMarcus does in terms of, like, one-on-one post assignments, but I don't know. Aldridge is not a very good defensive player at this time, but they give him some shooting, some playmaking, and just, like, options, which is certainly good to have.
Brian Geisinger, join us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. All right, Roy Williams retired yesterday. He was kind enough to do it during our show, so that we had that to talk about. All the big, big news breaks during Sports Channel 8. You know this. What should North Carolina do with their next hire, and what do you obviously, the question everybody wants to ask is who's going to be hired next, right? It seems a little bit dumb to just list people, but you are a little bit more informed than most. Not necessarily, you know, that you are out there beating sources of, like, who they're interviewing today or the next day, but that you just know about the game and what's realistic as far as, you know, how coach movement works, right? That being said, do you have some options that you think North Carolina should look at, and maybe a more expectation of where they will go if they aren't the same?
Yeah, I have tried beating on a few doors here, Hayes. It's not been fruitful so far, but I've given it the old college effort.
I like
my
it.
My first thought would be, like, cast a big net, right? Like, this job, like, whether it's like the best job in college basketball or the third best job. It's the biggest job that's going to be available anytime soon, right? You know, within the next 12 months or so, probably. We feel relatively safe saying that. And yep. UNC has incredible pull. It has incredible resources. It can offer money, prestige, like all of this stuff. Like, so yeah, I don't think they're going to pull. I don't think they're going to pull Mark Few away from Gonzaga. And I don't even know what his buyout is. I don't think they're going to pull Nate Oates away from Alabama. And I believe Nate Oates has a $10 million buyout. So, you know, good luck with that. I don't think they're going to pull Brad Stevens away from Jason Tatum and the Celtics in the middle of a playoff push. But yeah, you should contact all of these people. Certainly. You should make a big pitch. And I probably mirror a lot of the names that you're interested in as well. Wes Miller, maybe a whole other conversation that we probably don't have time for, but it's like, you know, does Wes Miller need another job outside of the SoCon before people, maybe is it like an age thing with Wes Miller, or is it like, we want to see him do it like in a slightly bigger conference than the SoCon, even if UNCG has turned into a top 100 program the last 3 years. I think that's kind of interesting. I don't buy that thought, but maybe some people do. I mean, I would think obviously like you have to talk to Moten, in my opinion. I'll just say this, Lavelle Moten connects with basically everyone. There's a reason why that guy is like friends with Steph Curry and can text Chris Paul. And they can also like go be a guy that can talk to the city council of Raleigh. Like people, he has a presence and an aura. He can walk into a room and he's tall, he's confident, he literally fills a room. So I think and I'll say this too. I think there's been this really, really toxic. It's not hyperbole. This toxic notion. I remember hearing this about Lavelle in like 2014 or so, when he was really starting to like gather steam at Central and like, oh, could he get this job or this job? And there were a lot of people that at least were putting this into the ether of like, oh, if you coach in the MEAC, like, look, there's no, it's